The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
Verse 20, He sent His Word and healed them. Oh, the healing power, the delivering power of the Word of God. It is His Word that comes to us, gives us sense, gives us deliverance. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them out of their destructions.
Hi there, and welcome to Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. Larry is an evangelist who's been sharing his faith in Jesus for over 30 years. As a street preacher, he has traveled the entire continental United States preaching the gospel in over 200 cities. Taking from his experience in the Word of God, Larry hopes to encourage you in sharing your faith. And now, here's your host, Larry Dubois.
Once again, welcome to the show. Our program today, Deliverance from Darkness or from Out of Darkness. It is a personal testimony of mine that I wanted to share in the theme of this week's show because it is approaching Thanksgiving. And this week here, right before Thanksgiving that we celebrate in America, Thanksgiving Day, the show topic, of course, being thankful and particularly thankful for our salvation and for deliverance. And I have a personal testimony I'm going to share later concerning that. And we're going to have teaching from Psalm 107, which is directed at the Lord's deliverance from sin, bondage, and alike. So we're going to be looking at 107 of the Psalms and also a couple other scriptures we're going to be looking at with that. So that's coming up here very quickly. I got a personal story and testimony of my prior addiction to heroin, and I'm going to share just a little bit of that. It's actually an excerpt from a radio show I had been on in Seattle, Washington, my hometown, and the topic was on addiction and that sort of thing. And so I'd taken some clips and piece them together in a short little testimony about how the Lord delivered me out of that addiction. In particular, being thankful for that, and I'm going to tell a little bit about my story. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, we are to be a thankful people. We are to be a thankful believers. We want to be thankful for in everything. I often think of being thankful for our provision, the things that God supplies, our food, our shelter, our clothing, the necessities of life, the basic things of life. We often don't thank Him enough. We often take for granted. That is just our tendency. So the Bible reminds us, the Bible tells us to be thankful. And we know this is the will of God to be thankful. Today we're going to look at our main text in Psalm 107. And it's going to be verses 10 through 21. And I'm going to read that here. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and please join us. Psalm 107, verses 10 through 21. The whole psalm is about Thanksgiving. We're going to look in particular to a section of that passage that is in particular talking about, you could say, delivered. I think in Jonah, the Bible tells us deliverance is of the Lord. And whatever version you have, it might say salvation is of the Lord. We know that we should be thankful for salvation and also our deliverance. It kind of goes hand in hand. Anyway, let's take a look. I'm going to read from verse 10, Psalm 107. "Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, His wonderful works to the children of men. For He has broken the gates of bronze, and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." So this is a very good passage here, and it's a very personal one to me. And a little bit later here in the program, I'm going to be sharing part of my story, how the Lord delivered me out of a great deliverance, out of great darkness, out of a great bondage in drug addiction. You can apply this in many ways. When we read the passage, of course, we're thinking sometimes about a physical chain. If we are locked up in jail, that the Lord would set the prisoner free. And that could be in a literal sense. I know that there's been many prayers that have gone up for people that are locked up, in particular those that have been in prison for preaching the gospel and standing for the word of God, and that the many prayers have gone up and they have been released. Not everybody. They have been according to the will of God. Remember Peter in the book of Acts, many prayers went up from the church and he was miraculously delivered out of the prison by an angel. So it can be a physical, a literal deliverance out of some sort of bondage. Think of someone that's been held captive. I've heard stories where someone has been kidnapped as a young kid and no one finds them. They presume they're dead. They don't know. That's usually how it turns out. The person turns up years later, almost into adulthood, and they have experienced being actually locked up by some wacko. Maybe it was for sex, or maybe it was for just being mean to them, torturing them, or whatever. They finally escaped and they have a story. That could be something as well. That's a literal deliverance. Now, in some of these stories, and the reason I bring this up, there is a testimony where, as you can imagine, even someone who isn't saved and put in that position, they're going to cry out to any God that will listen to them, so to speak. So all of a sudden they believe in God and they're going to cry, God, help me, get me out of this. And many times he answers their prayer. Some may go on to be believers, some not. I remember one time years ago as a young man, I was locked up in jail. I remember praying to God. I believed in God, of course. And I said, oh, God, let me out of here. You know, let me out of here. Please, please. It was unpleasant, you know, inconvenient. I was just wanting to get out. And I made a promise. I said, Lord, if you get me out of here, I'll serve you. I'll do whatever you want. Well, I was let out, short order. I only spent 10 days in jail at that time. But when I got out, I totally forgot my promise to God, and I just went about my life and about my business. So we have a lot of people like that. Nevertheless, the Lord is not bound by what we do or what we won't do in the future. He can allow people to get free from their captors, free from situations. Okay, let's go down sort of verse by verse. I'm going to make some comments on these. What I would like to share is a couple of times here, it talks about not listening to the Lord, basically. The bottom line is these are people who weren't listening to the Lord. They were experiencing consequences by disobeying the Lord. They were experiencing ramifications by not listening to the words of God, by their rebellion, by their stubbornness, whatever it might be. And that is true, isn't it, my friends out there? Aren't we our own worst enemies in many cases? Most of the trouble I've experienced in my life has been because of my own fault, my own stupidity, my own disobedience, so on and so forth. Most of my problems have been because of this. And this is why this passage is very near to me. And it is also very appropriate, as when we are locked in addiction or bondage to sin, this is where we need the freedom. It says, those who sat in darkness in the shadow of death, verse 10 there, bound in affliction and irons. Now, again, we think of a physical, literal sense. It says, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor and they fell down. There was none to help. God, a lot of times, will either allow the consequences of our behavior just to catch up with us. Other times, he is proactive in causing discomfort, putting pressure on us through negative circumstances, so on and so forth. It says he brought down their heart with labor. Now, this would indicate more of a spiritual condition now, the anguish of the person's heart or soul, and they get desperate. They basically get to the point where now, all of a sudden, we want to cry out for help. We're brought to our knees, as it were. And it could be in a physical sense. It could be an emotional sense, mental anguish, circumstances, that sort of thing. God wants to get our attention a lot of the time, especially if we're believers. And if we're believers and we're disobeying God, part of this would be considered his chastisement, his discipline in our lives. Okay, in verse 13, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them out of their distresses. You see this as a major theme in the Bible. I think of Nehemiah recounts the journey of the Israelites through the desert, and they got proud, they got lifted up, they didn't listen to God, and then they got into trouble. The enemies were coming all over them. Then they go, oh, Lord, help us. And they didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But God, nevertheless, he intervenes when we cry out to him. And this seems to be a pattern, you know. We go good for a while, then all of a sudden we're not listening, and then we get stuck or we have problems. And then, oh, Lord, help us. that happened to us, you know, we could easily say to another person, well, you made your bed and, you know, lie in it, or I'm not going to help you this time, so on and so forth. But God is faithful. God is so faithful to help us out of our troubles, and we go astray. He has mercy on us. He loves us. So he will deliver us, I believe. I have been delivered, and I'm going to share my story here in a little bit. Verse 14. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Now, again, you think of a literal sense where, you know, he freed them from their chains. We think of the demoniac in the Bible and the Gospels. Of course, he couldn't even be held by chains. He was demon possessed. Now, he was delivered mightily and the Lord saved him. And the Lord broke the chains of the demonic hold on him, you could say. And that's what addiction is, really. They're invisible chains of darkness and chains of bondage. And those are the chains of any kind of sin that we need freedom from. It's a wonderful thing when God does that, when we can't do it ourselves, when we, and many times, don't even want to be delivered. I think of it as a prisoner of war. You know, back in the Vietnam era, they had the Army Rangers that would go in after the war was over, or it was still sort of going on. It was supposed to be officially over. They went back to rescue some of these prisoners of war, POWs. They literally had to snatch them. They weren't coming willingly. They were so oppressed. They were so distraught in their captivity. They didn't recognize the Army Rangers as friends, as on their side. They wouldn't just come out, so they actually had to snatch them out of there. Sort of, you could say, against their will, but it was for their good. And so God does that a lot of times to us. We're headed on a course of destruction, and he is able and has the capacity. He'll deliver us even if we don't want deliverance sometimes, despite ourselves. But then what happens? After we experience that deliverance, then we think, oh, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you. Now I feel better. And so you're very thankful. And this is what's going on here in this psalm as well as we go through it. Because in verse 15, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. These are the graces of God. These are the blessings of God. And it is a repeated verse throughout this whole psalm of 107. In verse 16, again, it's a description, the imagery of he has broken the gates of bronze, cut the bars of iron in two. He has the power to do that, and he has a desire in many cases to do that. It is a power that is outside of ourselves. It is greater than ours. In verse 19, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Well, that's happened to me many times, my friend. I'm sure it's happened to you as well. You can attest to that. So I'm going to encourage you to be thankful. Not just this week, not on just Thanksgiving Day. We should be thankful every day, of course. Verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. Oh, the healing power, the delivering power of the word of God. It is his word that comes to us, gives us sense, gives us deliverance. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them out of their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's what I aim to do today, my friends, is to give thanks and the glory of God for all of his deliverance towards me. Shortly after this portion, we will play a clip, because I first made aware of this passage. Now, I've read the Bible over many times over the years. There is the county jail in Yakima, Washington. I have a friend there. He was on the show, oh, several months back. His name is Martin Lopez. He was the chaplain there, and he was head of what they call the God Pod. And the God Pod was a section of the jail in Yakima that was devoted to people that wanted to learn about Christ, wanted to give their lives to Christ, wanted to renew prior commitments. They went astray, so now they get back and they're in jail and they learn about God and learn about Jesus in this God Pod. And then the idea is so when they get out, they'll continue in the faith. They won't come back as a revolving door into the jail. Well, anyway, this is the passage that they used. When they would write someone a letter, someone would complete the program, and when they left, they would write this letter in the letterhead as an explanation, what they felt like their role was in the county jail, experiencing with these men that would come in there because they were rebelling against God. They end up in jail. And then, of course, the Lord delivers them out of that. So it's a very good description of jail life in a way. I want to bring up one more passage here, one quick scripture, which is very important in contrast to God's people giving thanks to God for all things. We have in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, and you're probably well familiar with this passage. It's a digression of unbelieving people, sinners, when they do not acknowledge God and God gives them over to their debased mind. There's a whole downward spiral there in chapter 1 of Romans. I'm going to read verse 21. And in verse 21, it says, it's talking about these people. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We wouldn't necessarily think that this was that important, but when we are not thankful to God, which is what the case was here, was one of the conditions. They knew of God, they didn't glorify him as God, they ignored him basically. They weren't thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So God gave them over. So that's something to be aware of. We never want to be unthankful, my friends. I know there's a lot of times when we can maybe throw a temper tantrum to God, and the course of our life should be a thankful heart. That is, I'm sure you agree with that. Well, thank you for joining us for this portion of teaching. Now, please stay tuned for the rest of the program. You are listening to Sharing Your Faith, and of course, this week, Thanksgiving. I'm Larry DuBois, your host. Please stay tuned. We're going to have right now some testimony of myself. I was on a radio show, KGNW, many years ago in Seattle. I was interviewed by my friend and pastor, Rich Dover. He had a program on addiction. We talked about that a little bit. So it'll give you an idea where I came from, my background. We want to be thankful to the Lord and give him praises.
Your host for There Is Hope is the program director of Fairhaven House and the most vulnerable talk show host on Seattle radio, Richard Dover.
Bill, welcome to There Is Hope. We're glad that you're listening tonight. We're right here on KGNW 820 AM, talking about addiction and recovery. Well, tonight's a special show because I have a special guest on the show, and that's my friend Larry DuBois. Larry and I have done ministry over the years in Capitol Hill area of Seattle. And Larry, I want to welcome you to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Rich. It's good to be here in Seattle again.
If you just take a minute or two just describing your addiction and maybe how it started and how you got free.
Well, for a number of years, I grew up as a teenager, and I abused prescription painkillers, opiates is the classification. I struggled with those on and off over the years, and eventually it led me to heroin addiction. I lived in that lifestyle for a number of years. I didn't innocently get addicted. It was something I was seeking to escape reality or, you know, whatever term you want to use. I wanted to feel high and didn't like the way I felt normally, and so I pursued this, and that's how I got addicted. Now, over the years, I had brought into my life some issues, legitimate things like some back surgeries and, you know, toothaches and things like that where you have to get a tooth pulled, and those had been maybe had set me up for a relapse. We can deceive ourselves as well as addicts and think, well, I'm taking it for legitimate reasons, but really there's an underlying desire to have that feeling again. We have invisible chains of bondage, and I think heroin addiction really gives a very graphic example of these invisible chains to bondage, because you are indebted to the drug heroin to use it at its will. It takes you prisoner and you do whatever it says to do. And so you basically have given yourself over to that drug, and then it takes and becomes your master and becomes really your God. There has to be an intervention for a greater power, and that would be the power of the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into a person's life such as mine that I didn't deserve it. I could not ever earn it or by myself escape, but by his mercy and grace, he bestowed great favor on me. Even after many times of failing and going back, I was graced with a revelation about Jesus, and the power that he instilled in me was something that I don't think the world has to offer, and that is the escape, if you will, from the cravings. You see, and even through a long period of physical abstinence, there's always this craving and this desire to go back to the drug or whatever your addiction might be. Even though I've been set free now, I still live with the indwelling sinful nature. There's two natures. For the believer, we have two natures. We have a sinful nature, and we also have a new nature that has been alive in Christ. And so there's this war going on. It talks about, like in the book of Galatians, the spirit against the flesh, and the flesh meaning not just our physical body, but our sinful nature that we inherited from Adam and Eve. And that these two are at war. But Jesus Christ, you know, he took that away. I was touched by God in my jail cell. There's more details, but I just want to be a general for the sake of time. But I was just touched by God, and in those cravings, that power disappeared.
You had a Bible verse that you wanted to share?
Well, sure. We're talking about being tempted and relapsing as even a believer. I refer to the book of Galatians again, and once it in chapter 5, it talks about the struggle between the sinful flesh and the spirit. Chapter 6, the first verse there, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." And so there's instructions there to how to restore someone who's been overtaken. And addiction is something that can be, again, overtaken a believer. And I think that because the Word of God deals with what to do in that situation, it's obvious it can happen. I know there's friends of mine, that even in different circles of theology out there in the Christian realm, that believe that, because once you're saved, you could never fall into a grievous sin again. But that I don't believe the Word of God bears out or by our practical experience. Well, the Word is what matters, and there's instruction there. So if you're someone who maybe you have a belief in Christ, and maybe it's just an intellectual assent, that is an agreement with some facts, but you have never really repented, that is to receive Him as Lord and Savior of your life, and you can do that. Or maybe you're one who needs to return to the Lord. Maybe you are a believer. I just encourage you to call on His name, whoever you are, whether you're addicted or not, the name of Jesus, the name above every name.
Amen.
What we want to do right now, my friends, is give you some ideas. Maybe you have your own of how to go out there and witness to the populace during these holidays. Thanksgiving, of course, an American holiday. I want to share a story. You know, some of these Thanksgiving meals start a week before. This particular year up in Sacramento, I was up there spending the holiday with my niece and her family, and they had the time. They had a ministry to help the homeless with food and shelter. They would pray for people. They would help them in any way they could and give out Bibles, invite them to church, all kinds of things. They made arrangements with the local ones that they'd go and pick up their day-old stuff, whether it be bakery goods or whatever it might be, the day before the holiday, because they would be closed on the holiday. My niece made arrangements. Anyway, this one particular year, between two of these different warehouses, we ended up with, I kid you not, 300 pies, as we were sort of like middlemen, but it was a lot of fun. We went and picked them up. Well, what are we going to do with 300 pies Thanksgiving morning? Well, what we did is we just started driving around, and we noticed that there were signs and buildings, whether they be churches, most of them were, that were putting on a Thanksgiving meal. Well, we went to all these different places and tried to give away these pies, and we did. We gave a lot of them away, and we got rid of, you know, most of them. I would say 90% of them. One particular church stood out. We drive up there. We see the sign, Thanksgiving meal today, free. So we stop the van. We have a trailer. We got all these pies. We go in there and we say to the people, you know, they're in there fixing the meal. It's early in the mid-morning, about 10 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, we says, hey, we have arrangements with Costco, and we got all these pies to give away. And the lady just about, her mouth fell open, and she goes, "You have pies to give us?" "Yeah, we thought we'd give you these pies. You could serve them to all your crew today, you know, your people coming in." And she goes, "You will not believe this." She goes, "We got everything for the Thanksgiving dinner. We got the turkey, we got the stuffing, everything, but we don't have dessert." We were able to fill that need, the power of the Lord. They were praying for that. We were praying that we'd be able to give them to somebody that could use them. So they took as many pies as they wanted, and it just thrilled my heart, a way that you can serve the Lord and serve people on Thanksgiving. Now when it comes to actually doing some traditional evangelism, a lot of tracts and pamphlets, Bibles can be handed out. You can even get tracts that are conducive to the holiday. Another thing I did at Thanksgiving, this is crazy again, the week of Thanksgiving, you know, the schools are closed again. So what we did early Wednesday morning or Tuesday night, I think it was, we went down there, schools closed. We basically plastered the school playground and the schoolyard there with homemade tracts we made. It had a picture of a turkey on the front. You opened it up, and, you know, of course, these are geared for kids, and it said, "Don't be a turkey. Believe in Jesus Christ." And we had a short little gospel message. What I would say was the day after, and that whole weekend is the biggest shopping day of the year here in the United States. So you got people that are, I mean, it's a nut house out there. It's congested. You really have to make an effort to get around the parking, the traffic. But all these people go to the stores. They go to the malls. It's a perfect time to go and hand out tracts. You may have to find out some of the rules and regulations in the malls. I know that there's been people that have taken them to task in the courts, and because it is a private mall, although it is private, it's a public venue, and they are allowed to hand out Christian literature. I think there's some rules, though, that you may have to follow. You can either take the trouble to find that out or just sort of be discreet, maybe be down the street a little. What I would suggest not to do is don't go through the parking lot and put a track on the window with, you know, under the windshield wiper. The reason I say this is I don't like it when it's done to me and when the salespeople do it. The malls really forbid that, and that's one of the reasons they don't like people handing out stuff, because most people just throw it away and then they have to deal with the litter. I just think it's a little bit tacky. I mean, you can do it. I mean, who am I to say that's a wrong thing? I just prefer handing them to the people. But you can use signs, you can use tracks, and you could discreetly. We go through the malls, not just on the holidays, but I've gone through the malls before, and I've discreetly just witnessed to people one-on-one. Because if you kind of broadcast what you're doing, they may zero in on you, and you'll end up even getting kicked out or having a controversy or something. Sometimes, even if you are within your rights, they don't know the rules, and so you're going to get thrown out on your ear and have to deal with all of the things later, and by then it'll be too late. So sometimes it's better to just be discreet, go under the radar, pray for divine appointments. If the shopping center allows it, then hand them out by all means. Some people get a table in advance. Use some creativity, use some common sense, but you got access to a lot of people during the holiday. But if you're an individual, you can't find anybody else to join up with, just go out on your own with tracts, pray up. You can access a lot of people with the gospel that way. I hope that helps, my friend. If you have any questions at any time, please use the contact info we provide on this radio show and get a hold of me. God bless you, my friends, and happy Thanksgiving. And maybe you're listening today, my friends, and you're not absolutely sure that you know Christ, that you are going to go to heaven when you die, that you are forgiven of your sins. Unlike the rest of the world's religions, we can know for certain and have confidence that we are going to heaven. And of course, this is not based on our merits or our good works, but it's based on what Christ has already accomplished and our trust in that. A lot of people think they're saved by good works. All of these efforts are really in vain, because there's nothing that we can do that is going to make up for our sin. The Bible, if you will, indicts us. Think of it as the grand jury indictment. The judge of all the earth is declaring us that we are sinners in his sight. That means we have broken his laws, his moral laws, his every aspect of our being is sinful. It says there's none who seek God. It says in Isaiah that our righteousness are filthy rags. It is a stench in his nostrils, and he will not accept our good works, as he did not accept offering of Cain. But we want to offer God what is acceptable, and that is faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We deceive ourselves, but God is holy and just, and he must by nature punish sin. But he says also he is a God of mercy, a God of love, forgiveness, and grace. And he has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. God became a man, became like one of us, lived a holy, righteous life, fulfilling all the law of God. He did it on our behalf. He laid down his life in death on the cross. He was crucified, he died, he was buried. But on the third day, he rose from the dead, and he is alive, alive forevermore. He offers salvation to those who would come to him. He said that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the only way. It tells us in the book of Acts, there's salvation in no other. For there is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved. But get alone with God, cry out to him, just ask him to save you. God is faithful. My friends, that is the good news. Christ is the answer. He's the only way we can be saved, and we definitely need salvation, because the alternative is to die in our sins. We will spend forever separated from God in a place of eternal damnation, tormented under flames of fire, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Death could come as soon as today. I hope not, but we never know. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved.
And this has been Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. If you would like to listen to a past broadcast or ask a question that would be aired on a future show, simply go to sharingyourfaithradio.com. And then we trust you'll join us again next time for Sharing Your Faith on First Love Radio, your Christian internet station.